Happy Sabbath, one and all, and welcome to our main church service on this 20th day of February, 2021. Sabbath greetings to those that are joining us on the phone or on the recording, and glad to have you with us today. Got a very important sermon to deliver, so let's go right into our service. Our opening song is titled Temple Made of Time. And those who know this wonderful hymn, please feel free to take a verse. God took 6 days and created earth and moon, the stars and sun. On the seventh day he rested from the work that he had done. Then he blessed it, made it holy as a gift for every man. To remind us where we came from and just how this world began. Holy day, purified, set apart, sanctified, enter in to joy divine in a temple made of time.
See him worship on the Sabbath as his weekly custom was. Feel the fury of the rabbis, for he would not heed their laws. So they killed him on a hillside as the sun began to fade. But he even kept the Sabbath as they laid him in the grave. Holy day, purified, set apart, sanctified, enter into joy divine in a temple made of time.
A forsaken and forgotten, desecrated and profane, but the sacred fourth commandment is still valid and unchanged. Hear the Father gently calling, if you love me, keep each one. Not for merit or salvation, but because you love my son. Holy day, purify, set apart, sanctify, enter in, joy divine, in a temple made of time.
Amen. Let us follow God's example and indeed enter into joy divine, resting upon his Sabbath day. Well, please bow your heads and your knees for opening prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for not leaving us in this day and age without guidance and instruction, but allowing your holy word to be preserved for these millennia and so readily available for each one today to be able to study for themselves what you have stated is truth. I pray that you will help us to become students of the Bible, studying for ourselves, asking for guidance and discernment from the Spirit and wisdom to know and to understand, thus saith the Lord, and in it is written. Help us to rightly divide thy word and to keep it separate from the commandments and traditions of men. And Spirit, continue to correct and reprove us in righteousness, in truth, aiding us to recognize doctrines that we may have believed as true or may have grown up believing that aren't founded upon a thus saith the Lord, not found written in the law and the testimony, but comes from the production of men's minds, from church councils, from decrees. From the teachings of the elders and not from the teaching of the Savior. And help us to cast these away, for we don't desire to walk in the darkness of men's minds. We want to walk in the light of your mind, which is only truth. We thank you for aiding us to see that your Sabbath day begins at sunset Friday and ends at sunset Saturday, and that it is not on Sunday or Monday or any day of the week, except on the seventh day. Thank you for helping us to discern that all the major arguments that churches and men and even popes can come up with are not found established in your word of truth. And thank you for the grace and strength to follow your will in keeping your Sabbath day holy. And that's one of the reasons why we're here today, to worship our God from whom all blessings flow and to keep his seventh day Sabbath holy. We pray that thy presence will continue to be with us, the presence of our Savior and the Spirit. Spirit, continue to lead and guide us as we learn how to keep God's chosen Sabbath day holy and sanctified. And again, thank you for the word of life that we can turn to for guidance in any of the affairs of this life. Please be with those that are suffering, sorrowing, afflicted, diseased. Please help them to turn to the Savior for help and be delivered. And thank you, Savior, for being their great physician, not just from physical ailments, but also emotional and spiritual. Thank you for being our complete Savior. And thank you so much, dear Father, for hearing and answering this prayer and continuing to be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Sabbath blessings again, dear ones. And the topic for today's sermon is titled, How to Observe God's Chosen Sabbath Day.
Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath, sister. And we've seen in our 10-part series on the day of worship God has chosen that God has selected the seventh day Sabbath or Saturday to be his chosen day of worship each week. And we then in these 10-part series investigated into the major arguments that people believe as to why the biblical Saturday Sabbath of God has now been changed into Sunday worship. And we've discovered that all of these arguments are really nothing but false and unbiblical beliefs. That these arguments are founded mainly upon Catholic tradition and not upon God's word of truth. So then as Saturday is the day that God chose to be worshiped upon, then exactly how does God want his followers to keep holy this special Sabbath day of his? And this is what we're going to be investigating into today. And for those that would like to follow along with the notes and the quotes I'll be referring to in this sermon, you can find these on our website at thelightministries.com. /ID343.htm. So how are we to keep this special Sabbath day holy that God has chosen? And let's start at the beginning. If you look at quote number one. In Genesis 2 verses 2 and 3, we read, "And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work, which God created and made." Now let's look a little closer to these verses. The Hebrew word for rested is shabbath, and this word translates and means to repose, to desist from exertion, to cause or let or make to cease or to fail, to celebrate, keep Sabbath, suffer to be lacking, to leave, put away, or put down, to make to rest, still, take away. So that's what the meaning of the word rested is. So this shows us that God created the Sabbath, or by the way, that was from Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, word number 7673. So, God created the Sabbath to be a day in which you desist from any physical exertion, you cease, leave, put away, or put down any work or project that you were involved in, even if it causes this work or project to be lacking or to fail until after the Sabbath is passed. And all of this is so that you can rest, keep, and even celebrate the Sabbath. Now, God himself rested on this seventh day. But since God never grows tired and he never gets weary, as we're told in Isaiah 40 verse 28, then exactly what was God resting from? And the scripture says that he was resting from his work of creation. Creation was his main job. It was his job description. He's the creator. You can find that in Genesis 1:1, Isaiah 40:28, Romans 1:25 and 1 Peter 4:19. God is the creator. So then on the Sabbath, God desisted from doing any work. He ceased from creating anything so that he could rest and repose over the whole seventh day Sabbath, which we've learned begins at sunset Friday and ends at sunset Saturday. The evening and the morning made up a day. Not the daylight to the evening, but it was the evening and the morning. So sunset Friday all the way till sunset Saturday was the seventh day Sabbath. But you know, that wasn't the only thing that God ceased from doing over the hours of the Sabbath. In addition to his main work of creation, God had also taken time to plant a garden in the eastern part of Eden, as we're told in Genesis 2 verse 8. God put into the special garden all kinds of lovely plants, flowers, trees, bushes, not because it was part of his job, but because he enjoyed planting these lovely living things for Adam and Eve so that they could enjoy. So not only did God cease from his main job and work of creation over the hours of the Sabbath, but he also ceased from doing any kind of gardening or planting, which was his own side pleasure or hobby, if you will, on the Sabbath as well. Now, if you look at quote number two, in addition to resting on the Sabbath, the scripture brings out that God blessed and sanctified it. Now, the Hebrew word for blessed is barak, and it translates and means to kneel, to bless God in adoration, to bless man as a benefit, to praise, to thank. And that's Strong's word number 1288. And the Hebrew word for sanctified is kadosh. And this word translates and means to be, to make or pronounce clean, to consecrate, to dedicate, to hallow, keep holy, proclaim, purify, and sanctify. That's Strong's word number 6942. So putting all of these meanings together, we see that not only are we to cease from working over the hours of the seventh day Sabbath, but God blessed this day to be a benefit to mankind and to dedicate this day for us to also keep it clean, consecrated, hallowed, holy, and purified. So not only did God rest upon the Sabbath, but he blessed it and sanctified it. So keeping the Sabbath is more than just not working upon it, but we must also keep this day clean, consecrated, hallowed, holy, and purified. Now, after God had put Adam and Eve into this beautiful garden, he then gave them both something to do. And if you look at quote number three, in Genesis 2 verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now, the Hebrew word for dress is abad. And this word translates and means to work, to till, to dress, labor, and service. This is Strong's word number 5647. And the Hebrew word for keep is shamar. And this word translates and means to hedge about, to guard, protect, attend to, preserve. That's Strong's word number 8104. So this reveals to us that Adam and Eve were not just put into the garden to enjoy it alone, but they were also to be its guardians and caretakers. That was their main work. That was their job description. You know, they were the gardeners. But on the Sabbath day, they ceased from doing their main job and did not do any gardening at all, so that they could rest and repose over the whole seventh-day Sabbath and indeed keep it holy just like God did. But what were both God and Adam and Eve do? What were they doing while they were resting? And if you look at quote number 4, God spent his time walking in this garden that he had planted. You can find that in Genesis 3:8. God also spent time enjoying his handiwork and communing with nature and taking pleasure in all that he had created. And especially was God spending time with Adam and Eve. Now, Adam and Eve were also enjoying walking in the garden, talking with God and Christ and the angels, communing with nature and taking pleasure in all the beautiful things around them. And especially were they expressing their gratefulness and praise to God for all the wonderful blessings that he had given them. So we see that this resting upon the Sabbath was not necessarily sleeping, but it was also God spending the Sabbath communing with and enjoying his creation, especially with Adam and Eve. And they were likewise spending the Sabbath in communion with and in praise to God and all that he had created. That fellowship and communion was also considered part of resting on the Sabbath. So what example do we see revealed on this first Sabbath day and how it was kept holy? We see that God ceased from his main work of creation. He rested from doing his own pleasure of planting and then spent time enjoying nature and in fellowship with Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve also ceased from their main work of gardening. They rested from caretaking. And then spent the Sabbath hours enjoying nature and in fellowship with each other and with God. Now, this perfect example of how to rest and keep the seventh-day Sabbath holy was before sin had entered into the world. So then, did sin change the way in which God's chosen day of worship was to be kept holy? Did sin cause any kind of alteration in how to keep the Sabbath holy? You look at quote number 5. In Exodus 16, verses 13 to 21. In the morning, this is after the children of Israel had left Egypt. In the morning, the dew lay round about the host of Israel. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost, on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, "It is manna," for they wist not what it is. And Moses said unto them, "This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents." And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, Let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses. But some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. Now, in these verses, we see that the main work given to each of the children of Israel in the wilderness was for them to gather enough manna each day for their daily food requirements. So this shows us that God provided them with enough food each day to live on, but they had to do the work of gathering it, or they would go hungry. But there's more. You look at quote number 6. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe, that means to boil, and seethe that ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses says, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. Now these verses reveal to us that on the day before the Sabbath, which is called the sixth day, they were to prepare for the coming Sabbath. And in order to help them get prepared, God would give them twice the amount of manna as usual on the sixth day. And the children of Israel were instructed to gather twice as much manna as they normally would. And then to prepare this extra portion of manna by baking or boiling it, or even just leaving it raw, so that they could eat this prepared food as their Sabbath meal. But this also reveals that there was nothing wrong with eating pre-cooked food over the Sabbath hours, even though some would choose to eat their manna raw. And any cooked food had to be prepared the day before the Sabbath if they were going to eat that cooked food on the Sabbath. So there was nothing wrong with eating pre-cooked food over the Sabbath hours, and there was also nothing wrong with eating raw food over the Sabbath hours, or not eating anything over the Sabbath hours. But whatever food you were to eat had to be pre-prepared the day before. Now, in giving this extra amount of manna on the sixth day, there would be no need for any of the children of Israel to work over the Sabbath in order to gather it. There would be no need for them to prepare it on the Sabbath because it was to be pre-prepared on the sixth day for the Sabbath meal. So then there would be no need to bake or boil any raw manna on the Sabbath day itself. So without any work to do, and without any work needed to prepare the meals on the Sabbath, meant that the whole Sabbath day the Israelites could rest from their daily work. They could rest from cooking, and they could then spend these extra hours in doing something else. And of course, keeping the Sabbath holy. So God gave the children of Israel this extra food. He also gave them the energy to gather and prepare it. all so that his people could rest from all their weekly work, keep the Sabbath day holy, and spend that time in fellowship and communion with God, with each other, and with nature. So God was doing everything that he possibly could to allow his people to keep the Sabbath holy. But in having to gather twice as much manna and to cook and prepare twice as much food meant that this preparation day or sixth day for the Sabbath involved working harder than usual in order to be able to rest on the Sabbath day itself. But that just made the Sabbath much more delightful to enter into, as they could look forward to there not being any work that needed to be done, and they could truly rest. But you know, not all of the Israelites kept God's Sabbath day holy. If you look at quote number 7. From Exodus 16, verses 27 to 30. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the Sabbath day. These verses show us that when the seventh day Sabbath arrived, some of the Israelites went about doing their same weekly work of gathering manna, but they didn't find any. Now, it's possible that this Sabbath-breaking work was not done intentionally, as they may have just been following their daily routine and absent-mindedly broke God's Sabbath. But it does reveal that since God did not miraculously provide these individuals with manna just because they went out to find it, that God meant exactly what he said, that the Sabbath was to be kept holy, that there would be no manna provided for them, and thus God would not aid or encourage any of his people to break his holy Sabbath day, even though they were ignorant of doing wrong. And to help his people not to repeat their absent-mindedness again, God commanded them to all remain in their tents, and thus there would be no way for any to unwillingly or absent-mindedly repeat the same mistake. Any who now would go to work on the Sabbath in gathering manna would have to intentionally decide to do so. They would have to leave their tent with the specific purpose of going out to get manna, and thus they would not be ignorant. But it would be a knowing, intentional choice. But these verses also reveal to us, and if you look at quote number 8, that before the children of Israel came to Mount Sinai, where God gave them his Ten Commandment law, these verses reveal that the seventh day Sabbath was to be observed and was still part of God's commandment law, going all the way back to the Garden of Eden, all the way back to creation. So this shows us that God's Sabbath commandment had not been changed or altered after sin had entered into the world, but it remained intact. It was still to be kept holy in the same way, just like it was before sin had come in. And God then made sure that every one of his people recognized that the seventh-day Sabbath of rest was to be kept holy. It was kept holy before sin. It was the very same seventh-day Sabbath of rest to be kept holy after sin. And God made sure every one of his people would remember that fact. When they arrived at Mount Sinai, God spoke his Ten Commandment law, and the fourth commandment dealt with the Sabbath. In Ezekiel 20, verses 8 through 11, God stated, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." If the Sabbath was created at that very point in time, there would not be the word remember. To remember means that there had to be something in the past. So God stated, "Remember the Sabbath day given at creation, continuing every seventh day of the week, to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." These verses show us that the seventh-day Sabbath of creation before sin was the very same seventh-day Sabbath after sin. So the very day that the children of Israel were told to keep holy, the seventh-day Sabbath, extended in an unbroken chain, an unbroken cycle, all the way back to the seventh day in creation week. So this reveals to us that sin had not changed the way in which God's chosen Sabbath day was to be kept holy. It remained the same. But sin did cause God to add requirements in order to help his people guard and protect the sacredness of the Sabbath. As we have seen, these additional requirements involved putting forth extra work on the sixth day, or Friday, the preparation day, in order for them to be fully prepared to rest and to keep the Sabbath holy as God originally intended. So sin did cause God to add additional requirements in order to help his people keep the Sabbath holy, but sin did not cause any change in how the Sabbath was to be kept holy, or upon which day of the week it occurred on. But are there other additional requirements of God that help his people safeguard the sacredness of the Sabbath? Was it just this extra work of preparing the food and gathering it on Friday? Or were there additional requirements to help God's people safeguard the Sabbath? And this is what we'll be investigating into next Sabbath. And we hope to see you, dear ones. Our closing song is appropriately titled, "Don't Forget the Sabbath." Don't forget the Sabbath the Lord our God hath blessed. Of all the week the brightest, of all the week the best. It brings repose from labor, it tells of joy divine. Its beams of light descending with heavenly beauty shine. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day.
Keep the Sabbath holy and worship Him today. Who said to his disciples, I am living way. And if we meekly follow Savior here below, he'll give us of the fountain, streams eternal flow. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day.
Day of sacred pleasure, its golden hours we'll spend in thankful hymns to Jesus, the children dearest friend. O gentle, loving Savior, how good and kind thou art. How precious is thy promise to dwell in every heart. Welcome, 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 ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, 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 ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day.
Amen. And you know, when you keep the Sabbath as God would have you, and you spend the day in communion with Him and others of like faith, and even out in nature, it gives you such a great benefit, such a feeling of contentment and joy that you could not possibly get by spending the day like the world does. It truly is a delight. And it's wonderful to have the knowledge that you are serving God and keeping His day that He has chosen, His way, not your own way, not the way of anyone else, but the way that God has said to keep His day holy. Amen. It's a refreshment that you can only gain by following God's truth. It is indeed a day of sacred pleasure. So we'll find out more next time. It's now time for closing prayer, and who would like to offer that for us? Please go right ahead.
Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your word, for your Bible full of history, how you've dealt with the human race, how you've saved us, what you did to save us. And last of all, but not least, you gave us a day to reflect on all of this every single week. We can renew our praises. We can be happy for our lives. And we can ask your blessings, which we receive. We can follow your instructions, which are life-giving. And thank you for your great law of love, the Ten Commandments, which teaches us how to interact one with another to show your love. Thank you, dear Lord, for being there for us in this world of chaos and uncertainty. We know that your word is certain, that you are certain, and your promises are certain, that we will spend eternity without crying, without loneliness, without pain, without heartbreak, without ever having to say goodbye to each other. Thank you, dear Lord, for a weekly reminder of all the blessings you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear sister. Are there any thoughts or questions or comments, testimonies, songs, requests, anything, dear ones, that you'd like to share at this time? Please feel free to do so.
Well, I guess I didn't turn my mic off. I'm sorry. How about singing a song? Got any songs in mind? Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Oh, someone has an idea. Well, go ahead.
I was asked before. I thought, is there a fourth commandment prior to the creation of this world or prior to the creation of Adam and Eve?
I'm sorry, dear brother. I didn't understand your question. Could you please repeat it?
Was there a fourth commandment prior to the creation of Adam and Eve? Because the Sabbath day was in honor or in memorial of creation.
Thank you, brother. We know that God's Ten Commandment law is a part of his character. So whether there was a fourth commandment before God created the Sabbath on this earth, I don't know. What I do know is the Sabbath commandment is in harmony with his character. We're also told in the New Testament that there is the church of the firstborn. And we know that that church is not just composed of angels, but is composed of other worshipers of God that are found on other worlds as well. And so we know that when the Sabbath comes, the church of the firstborn gathers. And we're told in Isaiah 66, I believe it is, that from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come and worship before the Lord. And all flesh there is not just human beings, but it's also the intelligences of other worlds. So those who believe that the Sabbath is just for this earth, God says no, it's for the entire universe. So we know that the Sabbath is part of God's character. And so whether it was a fourth commandment before this world was created or not, we know that it was part of God's character from eternity.
So, on that was Friday, the creation of Adam and Eve. And on the seventh day, they were reminded by God that next day or the Sabbath day, you have to keep it holy. Because on that day I rested and then I sanctified and then everything on that seventh day. The word remember, meaning it was forgotten, right? So the wording of the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, holy. The wording of the suggests that man has already transgress the fourth commandment prior to the chapter and the 20th chapter of Exodus. That's why in the 6th then, they transgress it, right? So maybe the wording prior to the writing of the fourth commandment, keep the Sabbath holy. And then after the, you know, the transgression, remember it. Is there a, there is a process. That's my idea, you know. Because you will only remember a thing if you have forgotten it, right? Can we say that the fourth commandment is not really eternal or everlasting compared to other commandments? Because the Sabbath was made for man. So the Sabbath commandment is started after the creation of man. It will be eternal because there is a text in Isaiah 22 and 22 that it will be kept eternally in the new heaven and new. What do you think, Pastor?
I would have to disagree with that. We know that the Sabbath was made for man, but the Sabbath could have also been made for other worlds. So just because it says the Sabbath was made for man does not exclude other worlds from already having a Sabbath to keep when God created their existence and their world. And that's why I brought up that you have representatives from all of these other worlds coming and partaking in the church of the firstborn. Job mentions that the sons of God from other worlds came and presented themselves before God. And the devil, since he caused the fall of Adam and Eve, took over that representative position of this earth and also appeared before these sons of God. And we also know that the Ten Commandments are a transcript of God's character, which includes the Sabbath. So the Sabbath has been from eternity. The Sabbath has also been given to other worlds. And mankind had the Sabbath given to them as a benefit. So I'd have to disagree, brother. I believe the Sabbath has always been in existence because it's part of God's character. And his character was put into writing so that you and I and others of humanity could understand his character. There's so much more of his character that he could not put into writing. And that's going to be the joy of traveling to visit other worlds, to see more of God's character revealed in how they were created or how their world was created. So I believe the Sabbath has always been in existence because God's character has always been part of his nature, and the Sabbath is part of his character. And yes, there are other worlds. Paul mentions in Hebrews chapter 1 that God has created the worlds, plural, not just one. And Job chapter 1 reveals that there's representatives of these other worlds who come at chosen times to be in the council of God, to worship him. And then also in Hebrews, maybe it's not Hebrews, but in the New Testament, talks about the church of the firstborn. And so that is worshipers of God from other worlds that join him on the Sabbath and give praises to his name. And Paul mentions that when the church on earth, this earth, worships God, that they become connected with that church of the firstborn. So it's all of God's created intelligences joining in worshiping him on his Sabbath.
So this unfolding words have the same 70 cycle.
I believe that they have a Sabbath that they worship God together. I don't have a thus saith the Lord that says they have the same seventh day cycle. But at least when the Sabbath occurs, it would have to occur on the same cycle that we have. The Church of the Firstborn has. So we know that there are daily and monthly cycles that God's other intelligences gather on. Job chapter 1, there's a particular time that they gather. And then we know that the Sabbath is another one of those particular cycles that they gather on. But I don't have a thus saith the Lord that says that there's a 7-day cycle on their world as well. Question in the room says, where are these other worlds? That's a good question. my particular belief, and this is subject to change, but my particular belief is that since God's universe is so vast, there's billions of different galaxies. And each galaxy has billions of different stars. And each star can have planets that are circling it or connected with it. Our particular world, the Earth, is part of the Milky Way galaxy that has billions of stars. But there's billions of other galaxies besides the Milky Way. So my particular belief at this time is that there's one world of intelligences that God has created that worship him in their galaxy. We are in the Milky Way galaxy. Andromeda galaxy is close by, but it's still far away. They could have one world that is part of God's creation of intelligent beings on it that worship God. So since there are billions of other galaxies, there may be billions of other inhabited worlds that God has created besides just this earth. Are there billions? I don't know. But I know that there's more than just the earth. And let me bring up that passage there in Hebrews so you can see for yourself. Hebrews 1:2, it says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, that is plural. So not just this inhabited world that Christ created, but other worlds as well. And then in Job 1, it brings out that in verse 6, says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. and Satan came also among them. So this brings out the idea that there are other created entities from God that came to present themselves before the Lord at particular times, and Satan, who's the representative of this earth because Adam and Eve chose to follow him, also presented himself before the Lord. So here in Hebrews 1, we have that there's other worlds that God has created with intelligent beings. Job 1 brings out that these intelligent beings from time to time come before God as representatives of their worlds, and Satan, as a representative of earth, also appeared before God. So, do we know where these other worlds are? No. Have we ever seen their galaxy in our telescopes? Perhaps. Have we seen their actual world, planet that they live on? I doubt it. But that doesn't mean that they're not there. No, Mars is not one of those other worlds, because there is no sons of God that live on Mars that can come and present themselves to the Lord. Church of the Firstborn, Colossians 1:15. Let me see. No, it's actually Hebrews 12:23. Let me show here. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. So we see here that there is a church or general assembly in which God's created entities meet together. And Paul talks about human individuals are able to meet in this church of the firstborn when they come to worship God, especially on the Sabbath. So Hebrews 1, Job 1, and Hebrews 12 brings up the idea that there are other intelligent agencies on other worlds who meet together to worship God. So, you know, plus we have the spirit of prophecy that brings out that fact. She's very clear that there's other worlds that God has created. She even saw that Enoch, who had been translated to heaven without seeing death before the flood occurred, was on one of these other worlds that had, what was it, seven moons or something like that. But these other worlds, even though they have a specific garden, I don't know if they call it Eden, but they have a specific place where there's a tree of knowledge of good and evil and a tree of life, just like Earth. But, yes, yeah, seven moons, thank you. But they did not disobey God by eating of the fruit. Adam and Eve were the first to disobey. And so these other worlds have been watching what happens if you disobey God and eat of the fruit. And of course they see the miserable condition of mankind and they don't want any part of disobeying God. Question, when were they created? Where were they during our creation? I believe that they were all created prior to mankind, because Ellen White talks about the human race being the crown of God's creation. In other words, the ultimate creation. So I believe that all of these other worlds were created before mankind was created. And since mankind, the greatest of God's creation, chose to disobey him and commit sin, there has been no other creation of intelligent beings that God has brought into existence until after this great controversy with sin has been dealt with. So all of these other worlds were created before this world was created. And God is not creating anything, any other intelligent agencies until sin has been dealt with and forever eradicated. But you know, it's going to be a joy and an excitement, at least for me, to travel to these other worlds and to find out about them, to find out what their world is like, what they are like, what insights they have to the plan of salvation, because they're all watching what's occurring on this earth. They have a great interest in it. And Christ did not just die to save this world from sin, but to save the entire universe of God from sin. So it's quite amazing. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And part of that marvelous existence, if we're faithful to the end, is traveling to other worlds. And seeing more of God's handiwork of creation. Question, so these other worlds were around when Lucifer got thrown out? The answer is yes. But again, Adam and Eve were the first to eat of the fruit, the first to disobey God, even though all the other intelligences of other worlds have their own testing of a tree of knowledge of good and evil and a tree of life. But they did not eat of the fruit. Adam and Eve were the first. And so since we were the first, then all the rest of God's created intelligences are watching, interested in what takes place here. And so you could see from the moment sin entered into this world, other worlds were watching. They were curious as to what God would do with the disobedient. Angels were curious as to what God would do with Adam and Eve in this disobedient world. And when God chose to send Jesus down, the plan of salvation was brought out. You can see that it not only caught the angels by surprise because they were expecting God just to wipe Adam and Eve out and start over, but it also caused surprise among the other unfallen worlds. And they were curious to want to know more. And of course, the whole plan of salvation is unfolding. Question, are they the ministering spirits that God has sent down? And the answer is no. In Hebrews 1, it talks about the angels, the unfallen angels in heaven are the ministering spirits that God sends down to help us obtain salvation. And amen. Adventist Home, Chapter 86, I'm not sure what the page is. It reads, "The Lord has given me a view of other worlds. wings were given me and an angel attended me from the city to a place that was bright and glorious. The grass of the place was living green and the birds there warbled a sweet song. So, yeah, and that's the end of the quote. And the comment says, so we know that these other worlds had birds and they had plants as well. And they had other intelligences.
I can read the rest of that quote if you'd like.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay. It says, the Lord has given me a view of other worlds. Wings were given me, and an angel attended me from the city to a place that was bright and glorious. The grass of the place was living green, and the birds there warbled a sweet song. The inhabitants of the place were all of sizes. They were noble, majestic, and lovely. They bore the express image of Jesus, and their countenances beamed with holy joy, express of the freedom and happiness of the place. I asked one of them why they were so much more lovely than those on the earth. Their reply was, we have lived in strict obedience to the commandments of God and have not fallen by disobedience like those on earth. I begged of my attending angel to let me remain in that place. I could not bear the thought of coming back to this dark world again. Then the angel said, you must go back, and if you are faithful, you, with the 144,000, shall have the privilege of visiting all the worlds and viewing the handiwork of God. And that's Adventist Home, page 543, paragraph 2. So we know that at least this world has birds on it.
Amen. And thank you for sharing that. Another question that says, so do they, the inhabitants of other worlds, live day to day as we do, or is their time different? I don't know. I do know that whenever the Sabbath comes around on their particular time schedule, that they do worship God and keep that time period holy. But whether they have a 7-day cycle, I don't know. Whether they have a 24-hour day, 12 hours of daylight and 12 hours of nighttime, I don't know. We'll find out if we're faithful.
Now, that's a question. Did they ever, visited this planet Earth? And what can you say about this UFO? Some of my friends, they thought, they said, maybe these are the unfallen books, unfallen beings, because they are very intelligent and as well compared to our, science. What is this unfallen words, this UFOs, unidentified flying objects?
Talking about creation on the Sabbath, keep humming, how great thou art. I'm not sure.
Yeah, we do have how great thou art, and let me go ahead and put it in the room for you.
I wanted to know if you have this series on DVD.
No, the series is not on DVD, dear sister. That's an interesting suggestion, though. I'll have to keep that in mind. But Sister Rose, go ahead and start out the song.
I don't think you can hear me. Can you hear
me? We can hear you now, dear sister, much better.
Praise God. I have something cool in my computer, so maybe there's something to it. My computer get hot. Okay. Um, I don't know if I'm going to sing it properly now, because I remember the first time I sang this, I heard this song is when my mom was singing it behind the door while she was praying. So forgive me if I don't have the right tone, okay? Oh, Lord, thy God, when I'm in homes of wonder, consider all the worlds that hands have made. As we can see, it was more than one world. I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power through all the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior, God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forests gladly I wander, and heard the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and heard the brooks and feel the gentle breeze, then sing my soul, my Savior, God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior, God. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son, a Spirit, sent him to die, I think I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior, God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what a joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and dare proclaim, my God how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Thank you, Daddy. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, baby.
Amen. That was beautiful. And in the text chat here, it talks about there will be no night there in heaven. And actually, there's no night in the city of God in heaven, because the Father and the Lamb are the light of it. But outside of the city of God, there is night. So there is night in heaven, but it's outside of the city. And there will be night on the earth, but it will be outside of the city of God, the New Jerusalem that will be brought down from heaven on the earth. And then there's a statement that says, so if there's no night in heaven, how come when we look through the telescope, we can only see a glimpse at night? And we actually can't see heaven from the earth. Ellen White talks about the opening into where heaven is located is through the open space in Orion, the constellation Orion. And scientists have turned their telescopes to Orion and have found the open space in their telescopes, especially with Hubble. I mean, the images that Hubble gave regarding this open space in Orion is it's just amazing to see. And you can look, in fact, we had a series here about Orion and the open space into heaven. And it is just amazing to behold in the vastness of it. But you can also see that it's turned just enough to where you can't see the end of this open space in Orion. You can only see it's like a big cavern that has an open space in it, but you can't see the end of the open space. And the Spirit of Prophecy says that that's the opening into heaven. She said she heard the voice of God come from this open space in the constellation Orion during the beginning of the seventh plague and gave the hour and the day of the coming of the Savior. So we can't see where heaven is. Yeah, there are pictures of Orion. You can just go on the internet and type in Orion constellation, and you'll see all of the pictures they got there. So we can't see where heaven is, but we can see the location where the opening that leads to heaven can be found. And it's just amazing what God has prepared for those that love him. It's just astounding. Any other thoughts or comments?
Good afternoon. I would like to sing a song today. Oh, can I? Okay. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son, who yielded his life, our redemption to win, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he had done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Great things he had taught us, great things he had done, and great are rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see.
Amen. And a thank you, dear brother. Brother Jonathan, do you want to sing How Big God Is? If you know it, dear brother, please go right ahead.
It's a song actually that I heard it. It's an old song that I heard before, but I actually don't sing this a lot, but I can try, you know. So man may strive to go against everything, grow beyond the distance to the top. And roam so small within my master's path. The open sky, but a portion of his God. How big is God? How big and wide is God's domain? To try and tell this lifting of his heart. It's big enough to roll his mighty universe. It's small enough to live within my heart. I went to kill because the mighty people lie asleep till we wake by summer's rain. The heart's grown cold, so far I struck with my venue. The master's touch will break the glow again. How big is God, how big and wide his vast domain? To try and tell this which can only stop. It's big enough to roll its mighty universe, yet small enough to live within my heart.
That was beautiful, dear brother. Thank you so much for sharing. And Sister Rose, go ahead and share the pictures of Orion. Thank you, dear sister. Can you imagine if we're faithful to the end and we're either called up from our graves in the first resurrection, or we're still alive and remain and are caught up to be with the Savior traveling directly to this open space in the Sword of Orion. It's going to be amazing. It takes 7 days to get to heaven. And so somewhere along the way, we're going to be having a Sabbath. And that way, even the Sunday keepers that have been resurrected will keep a Sabbath before they enter into heaven. So every single person that enters into the kingdom of heaven will be a Sabbath keeper. But thank you for sharing those photos. Are there any other thoughts or comments, questions, songs that you'd like to share? Please feel free to do so. Question, do you think there will be singing on our way to heaven? Well, I'm not going to be quiet. I'll be singing praises to God. I'm sure everyone will, scripture song, yep. I'm sure everyone will be joining in praising God in song and also in words. But 7 days traveling, you know there's going to be singing going on. Amen. The Song of Moses and the Lamb. There was a question put in the room. How do those living on the North Pole or the South Pole keep the Sabbath, since the sun really doesn't have a sunset per se for several months out of the year? And of course, they would follow the 7 day cycle. And so whether the sun ever sets or not, they'd still would be following a 7 day cycle. And people over at the North Pole and the South Pole, they know when Friday and Saturday and Monday and Sunday come along because they follow the calendar. So it's not a big thing for them to recognize when the Sabbath comes, even though the sun may not arise above just the bare part of the horizon, or it may stay up through the whole day. They'll still know when the seventh day Sabbath occurs. And those who don't have a calendar, God recognizes that it's difficult for them to determine when the Sabbath comes, and he will wink at the time of their ignorance or mistakes. But he will lead them to recognizing, true, they have a 24-hour clock somewhere, but if they do the best that they can, God will accept that until they're able to determine when the seventh day occurs, and then they can follow that. So, yeah, they might have military time if they're at that particular station on the North or South Pole. But a lot of times people use these what ifs as a way to try and shirk the commandment. Well, you know, how's someone over there that doesn't have a sunset going to keep the Sabbath? When are they going to know it's there? And because they don't know when it's there, then it's okay for me not to follow it. But of course, if you know when the Sabbath occurs and you choose not to keep it, it doesn't matter what someone else may do or not do. It matters on what your decision is. God will hold you accountable for your decision. But praise God that he was merciful enough to allow us to know about the Sabbath, allow us to know when it occurs, when it ends, and then provides for us everything that we need in order to have the Sabbath kept holy, even if it means we have to set aside our projects, set aside the things that we love, set aside our hobbies, if you will, and allow them to remain inactive or unfinished so that we may be able to keep God's Sabbath holy. So we'll find out more next time, dear ones. Are there any other thoughts or comments? Please feel free.
I'm just
going to... Go ahead, brother.
Oh, sorry, sister. Okay. Thank you. We want to sing hymn in Spanish.
Señor, yo te conozco, la noche azul serena me dice desde lejos, tu Dios se esconde allí. Pero la noche oscura, la de nublados llena, me dice más pujante, tu Dios se acerca a ti. Te acercas y conozco las orlas de tu manto. En esa ardiente nube con que ceñido estás, el resplandor conozco de tu semblante santo. Cuando al cruzar el éter relampagueando vas, conozco de tus pasos las invisibles huellas del repentino trueno en el crujiente son. Las chispas de tu carro conozco en las centellas, tu aliento en el rugido del rápido aquilón. Quien ante ti parece, quien es en tu presencia, más que una arista seca que el aire va a romper. Tus ojos son el día, tu soplo es la existencia, tu alfombra el firmamento, la eternidad tu ser. Señor, yo te conozco, mi corazón te adora, mi espíritu de hinojos ante tus pies está. Pero mi lengua calla porque mi mente ignora los cánticos que llegan al grande y buen Jehová.
Amen. Beautiful, dear ones. Okay, is it possible that I can share the scripture song about the song that will be sung from Revelation chapter 15, 3 and 4, where it says that, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thy King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, the King of saints. Who shall fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, thou only art holy, for nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, the King of saints.
Amen. Thank you for those songs. Beautiful. Are there any further songs? Anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones, before we close today's service? Please feel free.
I was just going to say, regarding how you keep Sabbath on the North and the South Pole, we look on the actions of people, God looks on the heart. Where there's a sincere heart, God knows it.
Amen. Amen. And Paul says that God winks at the time of our ignorance. So if we're truly wanting to serve God, but we haven't followed exactly what he has specified because we didn't know. God accepts the best we can do, but he then leads us to the light so that we could then do better. And so praise God for being so just and merciful, unwilling that any should perish, but instead all come to a saving knowledge of the truth. Amen. Growing in grace day by day. Unto that perfect man or woman or child in Christ Jesus. And then the Lord will come. It's been a wonderful Sabbath day service, dear ones. Thank you so much for your fellowship, for your participation, your input, your singing, and your fellowship. We look forward to fellowshipping with you again soon. And until that time comes, keep looking up.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee. Come what may, keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.
Have a beautiful day and a very blessed Sabbath, the rest remaining. Thank you.